And so we put the cows on tubs and started and doing everything, doing all the drenches, everything they told us to do. And just to see, I thought we'll try it for a full year and see what it does. See if it does what they claim. I think it fully did that, maybe even more. I mean, with this last calving season, from calving to weaning, we might have doctored 5 calves, and some of them were for maybe some different issues. That there was some calves that like had stepped on feet or something, you know, and we just doctor them for that, you know. So that included everything, the gamut of what you might doctor something for, pink eyes and stuff like that also. So I think we'd only doctored 5 calves.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Give your cattle platinum protection with Virbac Bovagen Platinum Vaccines. Start your protection at us.virbac.com/platinum protection. Data shows most cattle don't get enough vitamin D, which can impact health and performance. High D from DSM Firmenich can help improve cattle's vitamin D status. Be proactive with Cattle Active. Visit ProEarthAnimalHealth.com today. Lallemand Animal Nutrition offers microbial solutions to boost animal welfare and performance.
Welcome to the Beef Podcast, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm your host, Brandy Buzzard, and it's my pleasure to bring you the latest trends and issues from the best and brightest minds in the beef industry. Today, we're joined by James and Don Anderson, who own and operate JBB, AL, Herefords, and Red Angus. JBB AL Herefords and Red Angus is a seed stock operation in Gooding, Idaho, and has been in operation since 1967. They sell Red Angus and Hereford bulls and heifers, as well as F1 heifers. They also feed out 25 to 50 head of locker beef each year, so they are obviously very, very busy, and we appreciate James and Don being here and giving us some of their time. We have a lot to talk to them about today on this episode, sponsored by ProEarth Animal Health. So with that, we're going to dive right in and talk about cows. Welcome to the podcast, James and Don. Thank you so much for being here. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have you guys on. I love talking to cows with different people around the country. So I'm looking forward to learning more about what you guys do. Just to get started though, would you just bring us up to speed on your background, you know, how you guys got started in the beef industry and kind of, you know, that journey for you guys so far?
Sure. So our operation started with my mom and dad. They initially had commercial cattle. I'm pretty sure they were primarily based Herefords. And in 1967, the story goes that my dad bought my mom a couple of registered Hereford heifers, horned Hereford heifers. And that's when they got into the registered seed stock business. So my brother and I were raised right here on the ranch, and we were involved in the cattle and farming operation. James and I got married in 1987. And we had cattle on the place. We worked off site jobs. James was raised around it, but not necessarily on a ranch, and he really enjoyed it. Guess over time, he ended up doing more and more of the farming and the ranching. And in 1991, James and I entered a partnership with my parents. And so it was JBB Herefords prior to that. And then when we joined forces, we became JBB AL Herefords. The AL, the JBB stands for John and Bev Bryan. The AL stands for Anderson Livestock, which was what we were doing business under. So that happened in 91. We have 2 children who are adults now. And our son, Brian, and his wife, Charlie, they are partners on the ranch. Our daughter, Jay, and her son have cattle on the ranch as well, and they live here on the ranch. In fact, we all live right here in close proximity. My dad passed away in 2013. My mother is still here on the ranch. She's happily retired completely from the operation, other than she likes to know what's going on. We run approximately 60 head of registered Hereford cows, and then 30 head of registered Red Angus cows, which we added the Red Angus in 2012, just right before my dad passed away. And then we have some F1 red Baldies that we use as like recips in our embryo transfer program. And then Brian and Charlie have Charlie came to the ranch with a set of cows that are Angus influenced commercial herd. And so very interesting to have more of the commercial aspect on the place as well. As far as our breeding program and I guess what happens beyond that on the place is we have a pretty progressive AI program, an embryo program. James, our son Brian, and our daughter Jay, they are all AI technicians. I am not. I'm the record keeper. and so we AI probably 99% of the cows on the place. They get one shot, the heifers and the cows. We AI the large group of cows and the heifers the first part of April, and then the little later calvers, we AI them the end of April, and then we clean up with a Hereford and or Red Angus bull. So and that way we start calving around the 1st of January, and we're usually pretty much done by mid-March. And then we wean the second week of August. And so that kind of gives you an idea of how our cow-calf program goes. We background our own calves. We sell, like you said, the Hereford and Red Angus bulls, some heifers, and an occasion 4-H or FFA steer, and sometimes some F1s. We really like those F1 cows for our embryo program, but they're pretty hot demand too, so we've had a hard time keeping hold of them. And then anything that doesn't meet our standards as a breeding animal goes into the fat pen. And like you said, we finish 25 to 50 head per year of locker beef that we sell locally, Southern Idaho. I don't know, we've broadened our area a little bit, but, and then this year we started finishing some cattle for the family that does our meat processing. They have a meat processing plant not too far from us, and they were looking for somewhere closer to feed out their steers and heifers that they sell through their program. And so we've taken that on. This is our first year of doing that. They're also longtime acquaintances and bull buyer. So if that doesn't keep us busy enough, we also farm 400 acres. we primarily have a row crop of alfalfa, alfalfa mix, silage corn, grain corn, and occasionally we raise some grain seed like triticale, barley, whatever is needed. If we some oats, yeah. James is also an independent sales rep for a couple of semen companies, and we do AI service in our area. Like I said, James, Brian, and Jay are all AI technicians, so we do some breeding for some other operations around the area. And then Brian and Charlie have a trucking company. They primarily haul hay and commodities, and Charlie has a cattle hauling operation. She's pickup and trailer as well as a ground load. And so anyway, that's kind of what keeps us busy and keeps us going.
So what do you guys do in your spare time?
Golf.
I wasn't expecting an answer, but that's great. Cause it does. You guys, it's very easy that you work very hard and are very busy, and that's wonderful. You have multiple generations on the ranch, and you're not all doing the same thing every day, but you have all these businesses that are intertwined and like really cohesive with all the other arms of the business. That's wonderful. That's a really great, family legacy.
Yes.
Is stress affecting your bottom line? Even routine handling, inclement weather, weaning, and dietary changes can significantly lower the rumen pH, causing cortisol levels to spike. Cortisol not only compromises the immune system, but also suppresses normal appetite and feed consumption. The solution? Cattle Active. Increase production and reduce the impacts of stress on your cattle for cents a day. Cattle Active restores the balance naturally. Want to learn more how a feeding program, including Cattle Active, can improve both profits and herd health? Visit us today at proearthanimalhealth.com. Be proactive with Cattle Active.
So I have to ask, what led you guys to bring Red Angus into your herd in 2012? What made you want to start breeding that and bringing that into your breeding program?
Well, my father-in-law, he had kind of been thinking about or wanting to bring in another breed, and just kind of over thinking about it for a few years, decided that it was going to, that Red Angus would be the breed that we would bring in. And so, I don't know, him and my son, it was mainly their little project. They went to Loosely Sale in Ashton, Idaho, and they had a bunch of females. And so they bought, I think, 13 heifers to begin with. And that was the start of our Red Angus herd.
Red Angus, I hold them dear and near to my heart because I like that breed anyway. And then I also worked for them for the breed for about 7 years. So I always like to hear more about Red Angus. So obviously you guys have enjoyed that part of it. I imagine in Idaho, you guys have heard and are experiencing the same kind of, you know, market that we're having down here. I live in Southeast Kansas, and we've had some historic prices. What are you guys doing to prepare your cattle for, you know, to capitalize on this market, whether it be your, you know, your weaned calves, your bulls? Like, what kind of things are you guys doing to, you know, make sure you're getting every ounce of profit that you can?
One thing we did was November of last year, we started using Cattle Active and using their full protocol on our cattle. I mean, then one thing that kind of started that would have been that winter or that. Yeah, the winter, the calving season before that, we had. Oh, it was a pretty wet winter, pretty wet spring, and we'd had a lot of sick calves and scour problems and issues. I mean, we were doctoring a lot of calves. We worked pretty hard there for a month and a half, keeping calves alive and doing it. So I don't know, that Cattle Active was at convention, and we kind of talked to them about it, and they kind of said we use Cattle Active, we wouldn't have any sick calves anymore. I'm like, well, it's worth a try. And so I decided we were going to do their full protocol. So we put the cows on tubs and started and doing everything, doing all the drenches, everything they told us to do. And just to see, I thought we'll try it for a full year and see what it does. See if it does what they claim. And I think it fully did that, maybe even more. I mean, this last calving season, I mean, from calving to weaning, we might have doctored 5 calves, and some of them were for maybe some different issues that, you know, like there was some calves that like had probably stepped on feet or something, you know, and we just doctor them for that, you know, so that included everything. The gamut of what you might doctor something for, pink eyes and stuff like that also. So I think we'd only doctored 5 calves.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And so we even tracked it because we keep pretty close records. So we tracked everything. We had records from the spring before, weaning weights and everything. And they told me that our weaning weights would be heavier. And so I was like, well, I can test that. And so we kept track of it. And we weaned the 8th of August this year. And so we run the numbers and everything. And our calves were 35 pounds heavier than they were the year before.
Wow.
You know, and I'm sure there was some there could be some other variables in there that could, you know, cause some of that, but not all of it. So I think it definitely did what they at least what they claimed it would do.
Yeah, absolutely. It sure sounds like it. For those of us who aren't familiar with Cattle Active, could you just share with us like what that is? You know, is it feed supplement, a drench, what's in it, that kind of stuff?
As far as I know, you know, there is a drench. We give we've given the calves drench at birth and drench at branding and then drench again at weaning. And you could also drench them if you happen to doctor something, you could go ahead and drench them again on a doctoring too. It's on a 100% natural product. There's no adverse effects. And then we also put there's a molasses tub, and that's what we put the cows on. And they're pretty much on that year round. And then we also do have a feed pellet that we got the finished cattle on in the feedlot that we add to that and to keep their rumen, their pH levels good so they can help themselves stay healthy, basically.
It's designed for like gut health, is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
As much as I know about it, yes.
Right. So they've got, and you said they have like you're doing the drench. You're not just using the drench. You're using the drench and the lick tub, and then also you said there's like a pellet that they're getting at the finishing stage.
Yes.
Very broad approach. That's what I'm looking for there. Have you seen? What's been the outlook or the outcomes on like on your? Are you still seeing benefits of it when you're marketing your bulls? Like, is it evident that I hear you getting weaning weights, 35 pounds more per head weaning weight, and when five weights are bringing over $5 a pound, like that is a very measurable amount of money. Have you seen positive results kind of extrapolated to your bulls?
Yeah. I mean, them calves, you know, these calves, we just weaned these calves. That's the first group of calves we've got, you know, that's been on it. And so, but them calves, I mean, they look good all summer. We really did think that it was, we could see a difference, you know? And so them cattle, they do look good. Hopefully, you know, it'll just keep on going all the way till, you know, we're 4 or 5 months or 6 months before a lot of these calves will get marketed as breeding bulls. And, you know, and we'll continue to evaluate them bulls from now till then to get them ready for that. So,
well, you just don't lose any ground. You know, we didn't have the doctoring, which takes a lot of manpower and pharmaceuticals, which are all money. And you don't have the setbacks from the wet spring, and they're utilizing, I believe, more of what their intake is. And same way when we wean those calves, they go right to feed, they drink water. You know, they've got very good gut health that keeps them moving forward. So you don't have those physical setbacks that you have with calves as they go through those stressors that our cattle experience because of weather changes and feed changes and things like that. So we might not sell by the pound, but pounds still mean a lot to us. And mean a lot to the customers.
Oh yeah, pounds matter.
That's what they're looking for. Yeah, pounds matter.
Well, and if we can get, I mean, I always kind of think that it's our job to get the most genetic potential out of each animal to present to our customers, you know, as a mm-hmm. as a breeding bull. So, I mean, it kind of seems like this might be a very useful tool in achieving that.
Right. Absolutely. There's sometimes it seems like we can get caught up in the everyday and looking at, you know, maybe not think, oh, I just need to doctor one head and that's a small thing. But you're absolutely right, Don. You brought up, you know, pharmaceuticals have a cost, even if it's just one head every once in a while, like that still adds up. And I, unfortunately, sometimes we can forget that our time is also very valuable. And when you're as busy as you folks are, I mean, your time is one of your most valuable assets. And if you're spending less time treating animals, I mean, that really adds up. That's important, especially when you're trying to, you don't want your cattle to miss a step. You want them to get weaned and get right up to the feed bunk and go to water and not really get that knockback that there's so, that's so often associated with weaning or being shipped somewhere. I mean, those are all tangible things when you step back and take a look at the bigger picture.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, before we move on, I just want to make sure I tell our audience that if you're enjoying this episode of the Beef Podcast presented by Wisenetics, please remember to like, subscribe, and share it with your friends and family. James and Dawn, I want to pivot just a little bit because I my family is also in the seed stock business and sells a lot of freezer beef. And we don't sell very many head. Like, I mean, I don't remember the last time we hauled a load of our calves to the, us, you know, an auction market. We have been in done stockers the last couple years, like the last two or three years. We didn't this year, really regretting that choice, by the way. but in times like this market prices right now, you know, this is a time when some people would sit back and maybe reevaluate their goals or maybe change, maybe make a temporary change of a business plan to kind of capitalize in the market. And the reason I say that is my husband and I were having a conversation the other night, and there are some nine weights at the Enid livestock market in Enid, Oklahoma. And I mean, nine weights brought almost $350 a pound. And I looked at my husband, I was like, why am I busting my butt to sell freezer beef when we can haul all these nine weights to town? I mean, that's more expensive than a gallon of diesel. Like, let's sell these suckers and then we're not feeding them out. And I'm not trying to pull my hair out selling them to people. So I'm just wondering, you know, have you guys made any maybe temporary changes in your business plan to capitalize on, you know, the market right now, that once it cools in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever, you go back to things? Like, how are you adapting to benefit your business?
Well, so it is tempting, right? Just to haul those suckers to town and get your paycheck right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of fell into the locker beef sector. I'll go back to my dad. You know, we had some calves that just didn't quite meet the breeding criteria or what we wanted to keep in the herd. And, so he'd fatten them and of course keep some for the family. And if he was doing business with somebody, one of our oldest customers is a guy that, you know, we doing business with for ever and a day on our farm in putting in pivots. And it was like, well, gosh, I don't have that cash to put out there right now, but can I trade you a beef? And that's honestly where we started. And we have customers that have been with us for
almost 40 years.
Yeah, almost 40 years. And so it is tempting to step out there and just sell those calves. But, you know, I mean, customers, you take care of your customers. Customers take care of you. And so, you know, we stay within the market. We're not giving those locker beeves away, but we're making sure that they are taken care of. And so it, like I said, it's tempting, but we're going to take care of them because you don't know what the future holds and you want those locker beef customers when you can't take a load of cattle to town and get them sold for nearly what you're doing now, or what the market's doing right now. So it's, you know, one of the things is that somebody told my mom and dad when they first started in the business, be careful about following trends, you know, because you want to be smart about it and kind of don't go to the extremes, let it pass you one way and the other, don't go out on the extreme and then all of a sudden you have no locker beef customers, because they're not familiar with your product. And we sell to friends, family, and new acquaintances, and they know the product that they're going to get from us, and it's only going to get better.
Well, so. That's one thing I'm pretty proud of, or whatever. We've never advertised to sell our locker beefs. It's all word of mouth and past customers.
Yeah.
And we don't have, we actually have a, maybe more of a problem of having enough locker beefs to fill everybody's orders. And so we actually have more customers. It's getting to the point where we almost got more customers than we have locker beefs. So it's been a struggle kind of to,
oh, okay. Gotcha.
You know, try to keep everybody happy and keep everybody in meat, and been kind of fun, you know.
That's a great problem to have.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And that's one of the kind of the meat processing place down the road that does process our cattle. That partnership came about for us to feed out their calves that they will market through their facility as well. You know, is that there's two things that make a good beef, and that's genetics and feed. And we seem to do a pretty good job of both. And, you know, they understand that as well. And so it's a good partnership to make sure we're able to meet the needs of our area and keep our customers happy and just improve. That's always looking for, and I think that's kind of what, going back to, you know, decision to use Cattle Active is like, what can we do to improve the health of our animals and their intake and what they get out of their intake. So that is what led to using the pellets on the finished cattle. So,
well, that's a great analogy, you know, a great tie there between the two, and just looking for ways to improve and to benefit and just reach a, you know, more profitability. That's a wonderful story. And obviously if you're selling 50 head of locker beef a year and it's all word of mouth, like if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
So we're nearing the end here, but I just want to get you guys, you know, take your temperature here. As you look forward, you know, you have the next generation on the ranch there with you right now. You know, what is your, as you look out towards the future, what's a big goal or dream for your operation 5 or 10 years down the road?
For me personally, I would like to see us, at least as far as the locker beef thing or that part of it, our operation, I would like to be able to build a walk-in freezer and have extra beefs and have them processed USDA so we could sell, oh, like a box beef type thing.
Yeah.
Or something like that, along that lines.
Very cool. That is very cool.
I think additional diversification, you know, for, you know, something additional to fall back on. You know, I think diversity is where we live, and it just solidifies the business. I think that goal is for, you know, we not only have our next generation on board with my son and his wife and then my daughter, but we've also got a grandson, and then Brian and Charlie are expecting. And so we've got that next generation expanding. Helping them learn the industry, hopefully be interested in the industry. And you never know where it may, you know, go from there. It's just like, you know, back in the 80s, my dad fed cattle. He warmed up cattle, did some back grounding, and then went away from it. And here we are back to, you know, finishing out some cattle. So you never know where it's going to take you. You just got to keep your eyes open and keep your head above water.
Yeah. Well, that's very full circle. And that's congratulations on an upcoming grandbaby. That's exciting.
Any day now, actually.
Very yes. soon. Very soon, grandbaby. Very soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time for our famous three.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, that is all the questions we have pertaining to, you know, your operation and processes and things like that. But so it's time for our closing questions. And we ask these same three questions of every guest. And I did give you guys, just for our audience, I gave them a heads up. So I'm not, you know, hitting them blind. They're not getting blindsided with these. So what is your favorite beef or cattle related resource? It could be a book or a website. It could be a podcast. I had probably my favorite answer ever is a guest who said his wife was his favorite beef cattle related resource because she managed the genetics and things like that. And he managed like the data analytics and the marketing. So they worked very cohesively. So,
well, we probably have different ones.
Yeah. And in that respect, we're actually opposite. So James does, a lot of research. And of course, like I said, we AI everything. So he spends, you know, all year long looking at genetics and, you know, things to improve in our own cow herd. And, we have a lot of people in the industry that we consider resources, people we can reach out to and you know, really respect their opinion and how they see things. I'm the record keeper. I work part time for CattleMax as a ranch based customer service person. People really are our greatest resource. And I love talking to customers, whether it's our bull customers, our heifer customers, our locker beef customers, or the customers from around the nation that I speak to and regarding CattleMax. So, those, to me, that's our greatest resource is just each other.
That's great.
I would agree.
Oh, you took the easy way out, James. You took the easy way out.
Yeah. Well, I just want it recorded that he agreed with me.
There you go. Well, it is there on video. We all heard it. And we all saw it, too. So, okay. So moving to the next one, what is your favorite non-beef or cattle-related book or one that you're currently reading? So if you don't have a favorite, one you're reading now, or if you're not reading right now, what is one of your favorites?
One I've been reading the most here lately would be the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. My grandson keeps making me read that to him just about every day.
I mean, it is a good book. It's a good book.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty good read.
Yeah.
It is a good read. Yeah. Don, do you have one to contribute?
So I had a 30-year career with the Department of Correction. And I did a lot of reading on leadership. I was a district manager for probation and parole for the last 13 years of that. And so I read a lot of leadership books at that time. Like Colin Powell's was probably one that was, I don't know, things stick in my mind from that. Since I retired, I really haven't done a lot of reading other than I think the last book I read was Killing Kennedy. And I just kind of a something to read while I'm on a plane. That's about what it comes down to.
There you go. What have you not done, Dawn? I mean, every five minutes, you're like, oh, by the way, I also do this.
Well, I could go back. You know, one of the things I didn't mention was, so when I met James, he was a meat cutter for Safeway and did retail meat cutting. And that was back in the day when they'd get, you know, boxes that they had to break down the.
Yeah.
And so he really knew what the inside of it. And so, and my in-laws owned a store, and I worked as a meat wrapper while I was going to college, while he was, you know, bringing home the actual paycheck, and I'd go and work part-time and work as a meat cutter. Different things I can always fall back on if I ever need to. So,
well, that's wonderful. Resourceful. I think that's the word for that. Resourceful. Okay. And so the last one is, when you think of someone you admire or look up to, what is a characteristic they possess that has led them to be successful? And you don't have to, if you don't want to name the person, that's fine. It could just be a characteristic in general that you really appreciate about people.
integrity is always a big one for me. We don't always do things right. Mm-hmm. And you know, being able to acknowledge that and writing it, you know, people that stand behind their word. And I, you know, I guess that goes back to, you know, being in the bull business and selling heifers, breeding heifers, and, you know, even the locker beef thing is that, you know, sometimes things don't turn out just exactly how you want, but you step up and you take care of it. And I mean, that's got to come from my parents, the way they raised us and, you know, the way that they've done business. So that would be mine.
Mine would probably be, you know, right along the line. So somebody that, you know, that when they tell you something, you know that it's as good as gold. It's something that, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, whatever they said not happening. You know, it's their word is their bond, you know, and it's just, you know, that you can trust them and, you know, just honesty, you know, and a hard work ethic, I think. Just, you know, somebody has a hard work ethic and the honesty and integrity behind them, they're somebody that you can rely on. And
yeah, those are very, very valuable characteristics to have in people, for sure. So thank you for sharing those with us. That is all the questions that we have for today, and we have kept you a very long time today, and I appreciate you speaking with us, audience. We have had some technological difficulties with this episode going on behind the scenes, and you won't know it because we're going to cut those out, but James and Don have hung in here with us, and so we appreciate that. So thank you again for joining us today, James and Don. If listeners have questions for you or want to learn more about our discussion or about JBBAL Herefords and Red Angus or about your locker beef or about your experience with Cattle Active, how can they reach out to you?
We are on Facebook, JBBAL Herefords, and then we also have a website, which is just JBBALHerefords.com. And that's, we got cow herd information on there and cattle, bulls and heifers that are available for purchase will be on there as well.
You guys heard that on our, you know, that will be in the show notes for those of you who are watching on a computer or want to click to a link. That's JBBALHerefords.com. And I have been sneaking peeks at their website, and it is very, very nice. It's very well done. So not every seed stock operation has a really nicely well done website. So I applaud you guys on that, because I think that it's very important to have somewhere that customers can find you. So I don't need to get off on a tangent about that today. I'm just, very nice website, and thank you for sharing with us today. So thank you again for being here. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed getting to talk with you more, and maybe our paths will cross at some future Red Angus event. Thank you again to Pro Earth Animal Health for sponsoring this episode, and thank you to our audience for tuning in, and we will meet you back here next week on the Beef Podcast presented by Wisenetics.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.